Oh, there's just three of us here in the Zendo this morning. It reminds me of when I lived up in Germantown at the American Zen College for a decade. The Zendo there was probably 4,000 square feet. One whole wall was a gigantic Buddha statue in the middle, with a bunch of other statues running down one wall and running down the other wall. They were bodhisattvas and other Buddhas. And behind that was a big mural of a Chinese script written Diamond Sutra. The other three walls were all with cushions all around. There was probably enough room for 40 or 50 people to sit. Quite often, there'd just be two or three of us. On Saturdays, he would have a lecture in the mornings, and quite often there'd be 10 to 20 people show up. Maybe 10 people would meditate, and the rest of them would show up for the talk. Often there was a college not too far away, so they would one of the teachers there would send their religious studies students over to experience Buddhism, right? So that's sort of the way things work there. Sundays, it was a temple for the Korean community. So all his talks were all in Korean. And so it was a very interesting atmosphere, right? Like it is here. This is a beautiful atmosphere too. I mean, we can comfortably sit 10 people here. But here we are, just the three of us. So when we did our walking meditation in that big Zendo, and there was only two or three of us, walking as two, but not two. The great mystery of not two. Obviously, there were two. This person, walking. There were not two. So this is the great mystery, or non-duality. This is the part of our lives that in our modern society we've neglected, the not two. And that's why we come back to it here. And that's the beauty of whether it's just two of us, three of us, or 10 of us, doesn't really make a difference. It's the not two part. We sit. That's it. So the duality part, in Buddhism, they say there's eight forms of consciousness, right? They're all associated with, body, mind, hearing, seeing, touching. And then the eighth consciousness is what's called the repository consciousness. Aura consciousness, where all of our impressions, our memories, our things are stored. When you study the chakras, in our practice, we sit with the tantien and hara, it's called also, right below the belly button, is sort of where we rest our consciousness while we're sitting. But there's these other chakras, right? So the heart chakra, for example, and is sometimes thought of in an Asian culture as another brain. When I think of the eighth consciousness, especially when there's emotion attached, the opening of the heart, the open heart mind, heart mind, it makes me think about compassion. Combine this heart, body, mind, and you get to not two. That not two enables you to take these difficult experiences that we all have and appreciate them in a way that we can't without that. Without not two, you can be really stuck in pain, sorrow, anger, hatred, fear. because of this thinking of what is actually empty as having reality. It's real. So we've all had loss in our lives. And as we get older, it just perpetuates more and more loss. Parents, siblings, children. And when we think of them, when we're in a place of not to, there's a connection. The heart mind is an open experience of beyond birth and death. It's what in Buddhism is called birthlessness. You know, we may have great pain, we may have sorrow, we may have regrets, all these things, but if we really just be with them and let Kuan Yin or Avalokitesvara be our guide in the sense of recognizing what the Heart Sutra teaches us about form is emptiness and emptiness is form, then we can see and we can let compassion or this open heart mind, this loving compassion that has no bounds, you know, be the ground that we're sitting in. That all came from walking around the Zendo.
That's a really good, that's a really clear perspective. And I'd like to think that there were periods or events or times like in my life where it was recognizable opening up. If that occurs and it's experienced, then it's kind of difficult to deny that, you know, because it does it itself, you know, that juxtaposed with, you know, loss and conditions and all the things that we feel we need to manage on a personal level. It's what I do. I need to make things a certain way. At the same time, you know, I'm here paying close attention and working to develop this view that I don't have to do that. Okay. And in the meantime, you know, at the same time, there's this pressure behind, you know, that closes that heart, you know. I'm not coming to any point. I'm just sharing that as clear as that call is, and as true as it is, it's you know, the day to day of seeing and being that is it's an interesting challenge, because you know, I don't want to lose anything. Who wants to lose anything? Who wants to feel pain? Who wants to, like, and there's all these things that can shore up your defenses against the spider webs of setups and conditions that we have in our lives, whether we learned them or created them or whatever, or we see, like, you know, I think in the past couple of days, I've been reflecting on, like, you know, things that I feel are good things, but also serve to benefit me. So I'm one, you know, so I'm looking at motivations and, like, you know, all right, what's going on? So there's this miasma of things that could be looked at, and obviously I've been looking at them. But it's like in the face of that simplicity, like, there's, you know, an occupation with the conditions that we want to make more, make better, you know.
Yes, it's the inner and the outer.
Yeah.
So the reason I said that, well, in our modern world, what we neglect is the inner, that non-dual aspect, because what you're describing, all those pressures, that's our modern experience. That's life the way we have it today. It's not that simple for us. It's complicated. And there's, like you say, there's a lot of pressures and things. That's why, you know, doing any sort of exercise is good for you. This exercise is good for you for that reason, because you have all this, you know, stuff that's tearing you apart. This is what's real. So now you have faith in something that isn't in transition all the time, that isn't yanking your chain, because now you don't have a chain to be yanked. And if you can remember that while it's being yanked,
it helps.
It's like, it's wisdom, right? It's saying, yes, my chain is being yanked and I'm getting pissed off right now or angry or whatever it is. Or, you know, I'm divulging in a fantasy that if I knew I followed through with it, I wouldn't like the outcome. You know, so that's wisdom. That's seeing the duality from the wisdom eye. So again, getting back to the chakras, what is this one? You know, what is the third eye? You know, the opening of the third eye can't happen in that dualistic world. For things to be lined up, for you to really be experiencing, all this has to shift and drop away. Heart and mind has to open. If you don't have an open heart, you can't have the wisdom eye. Now, if you're not grounded in the non-dualistic essence of your nature, you can do that with a wisdom mind, you know, because that's what we do when we're sitting.
I think that has a lot. Your heart is impacted by a lot of emotions, which can alter how you do things.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that it would be in the brain. And whether we open or close that really depends on the emotion we're feeling. Mm-hmm. And that can either block that openness or force us to keep that door open.
Living in the closed heart place, if we have had the experience of the open heart, which I think most of us have, although we don't necessarily admit it to ourselves because of our karma, how we see ourselves and how we view ourselves. So that closed mind is the go-to. It's what we go to, certain people, okay? But once we've had a major experience of opening up to the universe as it is, it's really hard to keep it closed. Once that gateless gate of our mind is open, we may try to really close it down tight, but we know there's another way. So that wisdom mind is a sort of like a light shining on, uh-oh, I'm in that stuck place right now. What needs to change? How can I come out of that? Sometimes it's just being compassionate. And then you're already out of it. Compassionate about just all of it. You know, that's what's happening. It's a mess. Life is messy. So being compassionate about that rather than annoyed about it. I don't want it to be this way. Life being short. I mean, really, it's like a flash of lightning. Mm-hmm. We're here and then we're not. Oh. Anything else?
Happy to come in the door and see a cushion. It was nice seeing both of you too, but it didn't make a difference to me if there was 10 people or just you two.
Yeah.
I saw that cushion in the sanctuary for me.
Right on. Okay.